How about this to get us rolling? How did a volleyball-loving teenager from Cameroon become one of the NBA's biggest stars? Let's explore the journey of Joel Embiid. Okay, here we go. From the top, I'm Leah, and I'm like genuinely excited to dig into Joel Embiid's path, the twists, the grit, all of it.
And I'm Garrett, totally pumped too. This one's got layers, don't you think? From Cameroon to center stage in Philadelphia, that's pretty cool, right?
All right, here's where we begin. Joel Embiid, Cameroonian and American, a dominant NBA center for the Philadelphia 76ers, and honestly, one of the most fascinating athlete stories of the last decade. Picture this. A couple of years ago, I went to a 76ers game on a whim. I'd heard all the buzz about Embiid, but I didn't totally get the hype until I watched him warm up. He's 7 feet tall, but somehow like light on his feet. He was smiling, goofing a bit, and then switching into this laser focus. During the game, he'd post up with power, hit a soft mid-range jumper, and then swat a shot into the third row. The whole arena felt dialed into his rhythm, and I left that night thinking, okay, that's a presence. It honestly made me curious about how someone can start a sport late and still climb to the very top.
Yeah, that checks out. What gets me first is the timeline. He was born in Yaoundé, Cameroon in 1994, and as a kid, he wasn't even locked in on basketball. He leaned into volleyball and soccer. That early volleyball experience is huge because it teaches timing and footwork, how to jump and land with purpose, and how to read space at the net. Then at age 15, he shifted to organized basketball, modeling his game after Hakeem Olajuwon, a Hall of Famer from Nigeria, known for poetic footwork and post moves people still study today. It's a late start, but the learning curve goes, like, straight up.
Let's unpack this. Going from volleyball and soccer to basketball at 15 is wild. Imagine trying a brand new instrument at 15, and then a few years later, playing first chair in a world-class orchestra. That's basically what happened here. Quick definition moment. When we say post-play, we mean operating near the basket with your back to the hoop. It's a strength, balance, and footwork chess match. Embiid built that style on an Olajuwon blueprint, which takes serious study and feel.
Speaking of which, there's a key person early on. Luke Mba-Amute, an NBA forward and fellow Cameroonian from Yaoundé, spotted Embiid at a camp and became a mentor. That's not just a foot in the door, that's a guide through the hallway. With Luke's help, Embiid moved to the United States at 16 for more competitive basketball. First, he attended Montverde Academy, a Florida powerhouse prep school known for elite hoops, but he didn't get much playing time there. So he transferred to the Rock School in Gainesville, a smaller program where he could, you know, actually play and grow. He led the Rock School to a state title as a senior, around 13 points, almost 10 rebounds, and nearly 2 blocks a game. And suddenly, he was a 5-star recruit. That's a rocket ship.
Why do you think the transfer mattered so much? I mean, playing time, sure, but what's the deeper reason?
Reps build instincts. It's like woodworking for me. I can read about a dovetail joint, but until I cut and fit a bunch of them, my hands don't learn the tolerance. Basketball's the same. The more situations you see in real time, the faster your brain maps them. That move to the Rock School gave him a busy sandbox. More touches, more decisions, more confidence.
That's close to the heart of it. Then comes Kansas, the Kansas Jayhawks, one of college basketball's blue blood programs. In the 2013-14 season, he averaged about 11 points, 8 rebounds, and 2.6 blocks in around 23 minutes. Efficient, impact-heavy numbers. He earned Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, which basically says he anchored the defense in a major conference. He was even named one of 30 finalists for the Naismith College Player of the Year. That's the big national award. But then a stress fracture in his back shut him down before the conference and NCAA tournaments.
And here's where the adversity thread starts. Despite the back injury, he declared for the 2014 NBA draft. Shortly after, he needed surgery on his right foot, specifically the navicular bone, a small but crucial bone in the midfoot that handles a lot of load. Foot bones are like the suspension system. If one key part's cracked, everything rides rough. Even with that, the Philadelphia 76ers picked him third overall. That's massive, and it ties into what Philly fans called the process, a franchise-wide, long-view rebuild that embraced patience, development, and smart asset management.
Real talk, that patience was tested. He missed the entire 2014-15 season, then suffered a setback and missed 2015-16 too. For anyone thinking about the human side, that's 2 years of rehab and waiting while the game keeps moving. But he finally stepped on an NBA court in October 2016 and made an immediate impact. 20 points, 7 rebounds, 2 blocks in his debut. Then came double-doubles, Rookie of the Month honors, that, and even though he only played 31 games, he made the all-rookie first team. That's a rare way to say, this guy's different.
Not gonna lie, those early games felt like a preview reel. He had nights with 25, 26, then 33 points. The defense kept popping too. But that rookie year also ended with a left knee meniscus tear. The meniscus is the cushion cartilage in your knee that helps absorb impact. He eventually needed a procedure and shut it down. The next season, 2017-18, he signed a 5-year designated rookie max extension. That's the team saying, "We believe you're a franchise pillar." He answered with monster performances, a 46-point game with 15 rebounds, 7 assists, and 7 blocks against the Lakers. The first player to hit a 47-7 line like that in Philly since Julius Irving in 1982. He was named an all-star starter. Then a setback, a left orbital fracture, which is a break near the eye socket, but he returned to make his playoff debut and helped beat Miami in the first round.
That Boston second round in 2018 stung. He put up 31-13 in Game 1, and in the closeout Game 5, he had 27-12. There was even a late layup where the NBA later said a foul should have been called. But you could feel that, even in defeat, he had arrived as a postseason problem for opponents. And after that, the regular season earthquakes kept coming. Strings of 30 and 40 point games, his first career triple doubles, a 40-21 night, a lot of evidence that he could bend a game to his will.
Zooming out to the accolades, he's a 7-time NBA All-Star, a 5-time All-NBA selection, and a 3-time All-Defensive Team member. That combination says he affects both offense and defense at elite levels. He also led the league in scoring in back-to-back seasons. For a center to win scoring titles in the modern, perimeter-heavy NBA is wild. He became the first center since Moses Malone to average over 30 points per game in a season and the first foreign-born player to lead the NBA in scoring. Then there's the crown jewel. He was named NBA Most Valuable Player. That's the league saying you were the best player over that season, balancing production and team impact.
Let's dig deeper into the toolbox that makes that possible. Embiid can punish you on the block with footwork and strength. That's the Olajuwon influence. He's got a mid-range touch that's like silky, and he can step out and hit a three-pointer to keep defenders honest. On defense, he's a classic rim protector who can alter shots just by being there. But what I love most is the patience. He'll get doubled, kick it out, and trust that the offense will find him again later. It's a mature star approach.
Here's another angle. The injuries that could have derailed all this. He's fought through a broken navicular bone, left knee meniscus issues, orbital fractures, a right thumb problem, a later left knee meniscus injury, even appendicitis. And during the 2024 playoffs, he dealt with Bell's palsy, a temporary facial nerve condition that can cause muscle weakness. That's a lot for any career, let alone one with MVP-level expectations. Yet again and again, he resets, rehabs, and returns.
Why do you think he keeps finding that next gear after setbacks? Is it training, mindset, or like a combo?
Combo, for sure. There's elite medical care and training, obviously. But mindset feels central. Moving from Cameroon at 16, switching schools for a better fit, grinding through 2 lost NBA seasons, each step built a tolerance for uncertainty. It's like urban exploration for me, honestly. You learn to navigate the unknown without panicking. For Embiid, that translates to disciplined rehab and a belief that another peak is out there if he does the work.
Let's take on a question that always comes up. Does his style of play increase his injury risk? I lean toward no as a simple blanket statement, but with nuance. Yes, he's physical, but he's also versatile, He can post, face up, shoot, or play off the catch. That variety, to me, means he doesn't have to absorb the same kind of collisions every possession. It's like a musician who alternates between power pieces and lyrical ones. You balance the strain.
I hear you, and I'm somewhat on the other side, gently. Big men who anchor the paint take a beating. Boxouts, landings, banging with other seven-footers. Even when he faces up, defenders crowd his space. That contact tax adds up over a season. The key, I think, is load management, not just as a buzzword, but in micro ways. Shorter stints, targeted rest days, and dialing how often he initiates from the post versus the elbow or arc. It's less about changing who he is and more about distributing the physical moments across the schedule.
That's a solid point. And maybe the real answer is that his adaptability is the safety valve. When teams overload the paint, he can pivot to pick and pops or handoffs. A handoff is just a quick exchange that keeps the offense moving, so he doesn't have to absorb contact to create every time. Pair that with medical staff planning, and honestly, you tilt the odds toward longevity while still letting him be himself.
Speaking of being himself, his presence off the court is big-time pop culture. He's charismatic, jokes online, and leans into the process moniker. He kind of made that rebuild era feel human and fun. I could absolutely see a biopic someday. Act 1 in Yaoundé with soccer and volleyball. Act 2 with discovery by Lukumba Amut and the big leap to the U.S. And Act 3 covering injuries, resilience, and MVP heights. Sprinkle in his humor, and it's not just a grind story. It's a personality piece.
Here's where it gets really interesting. What if he had stayed with volleyball? With that height, reach, and timing, I could see him as a world-class middle blocker, the player who reads the setter and tries to stuff spikes at the net. In beach volleyball, maybe he transitions to a big server and net protector. He'd need lateral quickness in sand, which is its own beast, but his footwork baseline is strong. The ripple effect could have been huge. Imagine a Cameroonian superstar boosting volleyball's visibility across Africa the way he did for basketball.
I'm down for that thought experiment. If he'd chased pro volleyball in Europe, which he actually considered as a kid, he might have become a crossover ambassador for the sport, the same way he bridges African and American hoops cultures now. But I do think basketball let his full range show, power, finesse, and storytelling within a game. The way he can post, pass, and step out for three paints a bigger canvas. Still, on a packed beach, that Embiid jump serve would have been must-see.
Before we close the loop, I want to highlight the cultural bridge piece. For kids in Yaoundé or anywhere who see someone start late, face setbacks, and still rise, that's more than a stat line. It's permission to dream with patience. The message is, your path doesn't have to look like everyone else's. If you build skills, seek mentors, and keep showing up, you can craft something extraordinary.
Yeah, that hits different. From Yaoundé to MVP, through injuries and comebacks, and still smiling while he carries a franchise. That's one for the memory bank.
All right, that ties it up nicely.